Believes that this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. No other name. Blessed be his name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. We trust you had a nice Thanksgiving day and fellowship with friends and family that you're fed up, maybe. That's what they say in South Africa. If you've had enough to eat, you say, I'm fed up. You say it here and you're liable to get slugged. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just so thankful for all that the Lord has done, all that he's doing. And so much that we know about and so much more that we don't know about, but we trust him. And We know that he's got everything in his control and that we're safely in his loving arms. And it's a privilege and an honor to serve him and to know him and to love him. And it just makes you want to tell other people about him, doesn't it? It's not something that you have to work up or try to do. If you make a new friend, you want to tell other people about the new friend that you made. If you just got engaged, you want to tell everybody about that person. You don't want to keep that a secret. You want to share this person with other people. And how much more our Heavenly Father. Amen. I'd like to read from Job chapter 3, verse 24. We're going to pick up on a thought that we've been looking at here for several services now. And we want to go a little further with it. We're not running out of things to minister on, but you know, when we run across something that we get so much feedback and we can see that it is so helpful, we want to just bear down on it until, you know, we don't want to just hear something and then move on to something else. We want these things to be applied to our lives. Amen. Job chapter 3, verse 24. Job says, "For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Now, it's something here to notice that Job recognizes that he has these fears, and he recognizes that the very thing that he feared has come upon him. Now, that's just having that recognition is step number one, because if you don't realize that there's a cause and effect, that there's a connection between fear and the thing that you fear coming upon you, well then you will forever remain a victim to whatever happens to you in life. But we aren't called to be victims. Amen. "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." I'd like to also read from Perfect Faith. He says in the book of Job, it says here, Job feared. And what he feared, it actually happened. What brought it? His fear. That's what made it happen. His faith would have kept him from it, but his fear brought it to him. He was scared it was going to happen, and it did happen. Now, if he'd known it wouldn't happen, it wouldn't happen. See what I mean? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we come together on this Thanksgiving weekend, our hearts are filled with joy and thanksgiving, Lord, and we know that every day should be a day of thanksgiving, and we're thankful, Lord, that there's actually a time that is set apart by our government to recognize our Creator and be thankful for all that you've done, all that you're doing. And you're the Lord of the harvest, but not only are you the Lord of the harvest, but you're the one that provided everything so that there would be a harvest. And so we thank you for that this morning from the bottom of our hearts. Father, all those that are out sick, we just want to unite our faith together, Lord, and look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We look to you to raise them up and bring them back amongst us once again. And those that are here, Lord, just bless them mightily once again. And those that are listening in, Father, we're looking to you to speak to us. We're looking to you to meet our needs. We're looking to you to provide what it is that we are striving for, that we're looking for, that we're needful of, Lord. And we trust, Lord, that you know all things and that you're faithful, Lord, and that you've already provided the solution before there ever was a problem. So we look to you, Lord, with anticipation and with confidence that you will provide. We love you and we thank you. We ask that you would just move upon our hearts, that you would anoint your word as it's received in good ground in our hearts, and may it produce Jesus Christ in our midst. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So many of the fears that people face as adults, we know that they can be traced back many times to things that we were taught when we were little children. And I don't mean taught in the sense that some person like our dad or our mom or someone else said to their child, now today's lesson is learning how to fear lizards or toads. When we are children, we're like a sponge in that we are learning new things all the time. And perhaps we're learning at a pace and at a rate that we will never again see in the rest of our lives. We will continue to learn throughout our lives, but the first parts of our lives, they say most of our shaping and forming is done by the time we reach the age of 6 years old. And so much of what we learn is actually impressed upon our subconscious based on our environment and based on what our senses are picking up from our environment. What we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and so forth, those are things that affect us, and those are things that can be impressed upon our subconscious, along with the experiences that go along with that. Maybe mama sings a lullaby to us, a certain song, and the sound of her voice, and the feelings that we have that are associated with the sound of her voice. Maybe her touching us, or maybe her holding us in a certain way. That can become a strong memory, and it can become a strong something that's impressed in our subconscious that can later be triggered at various times throughout our life. It might not be something that we were conscious of while it was occurring. And there are cases, there are many cases where someone is, maybe a mother dies, or maybe the child, for whatever reason, they're adopted or raised in another home, and songs will be played, and it'll trigger that something that's down on the inside, and it's so familiar to them, and it brings such a good feeling, but maybe they aren't even aware that it was their mother that was singing to them as a child. So these things absolutely have an impression on us, and they're impressed upon our subconscious. Sometimes we may not even be conscious of the things that are impressed in our subconscious, and maybe we aren't even able to recall them or when or where we ever experienced them, but they are still impressed on our subconscious, and they still affect who and what we are throughout our life, whether we want them to or not. So if we were raised in a home, for instance, where voices were routinely raised and or there was always a tension in the home, our subconscious learns to fear and to worry from those situations. And when we are in similar situations later on in life, those fears or those worries can be triggered whether we realize it or not, and can affect our present day experiences based on something from our past. So a whole lot of what we learn when we're young is not by somebody necessarily reading to us from a book or telling us a story. Of course, those are avenues of learning for us, but so much of what we learn doesn't come from a book, doesn't come from somebody directly instructing us, but from our environment, from our experiences, from all the things that we go through in our early years. It's behaviors, it's attitudes, it's feelings of those that are around us that teach us things that are then stored in our subconscious mind. Are you listening this morning? Sometimes what we are taught is right, and sometimes what we are taught is wrong. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But the subconscious is all the while picking these things up. It's not determining goodness or badness. It's bringing these things in, and it's programming these things in us. And we are molded and we are shaped by these things without many times even being aware of what's taking place. In fact, we aren't even aware that we have a subconscious. And at other times, we are very aware of it. And depending on how it made us feel, we might even subconsciously try to repress those experiences at times. We might try to block them out to the point where we're not at all conscious of what took place. If we receive little affection, for instance, as a child, it might be later in our lives, it might be later hard to give and or receive affection. If we were exposed to foul language as a child, we can struggle with using foul words later on in our lives. If we lived in a home where we were always hearing negative things and things said about people in general, people that we know, people that we come in contact with, we will likely struggle with respecting others like we should and not thinking and saying negative things about others because of what we were exposed to. Are you still with me? So in other words, had we not been taught by example to do certain things, we wouldn't be struggling with those things later on. There are things that just come natural to us in our nature, and you could be the type of person that was just born hopeful, and you could start out in your early life where there's no hope, and then you can battle with thinking that there's no hope in situations later on in your life, whereas you weren't born that way. That's what I'm trying to get at this morning. You were affected by and molded and shaped by what took place as a child. And unless it's dealt with, it will affect you continuously throughout your life. So those things wouldn't be identified in us as a part of who we are necessarily, but because of what we went through, we are associated with it. We can be told over and over and over, you're a hateful child, or you're a no good person, or you'll never amount to anything, or you're stupid, or, you know, those things then become programmed in our subconscious. And we believe that we are those things, and we struggle to believe that we could be anything other than that, because we think this is really who I am. And then when we give our hearts to the Lord, and we might think, well, I'm a Christian, and so the things in my past, they no longer have any effect whatsoever on me. And of course, we absolutely believe that when we confess the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and when we confess that we are sinners, and we ask Him for forgiveness from the sins of our past, we absolutely believe that those sins are washed away by the power of His shed blood. There's no question about that. We are born, if we are born anew of His Spirit, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we believe that. But our subconscious doesn't then get erased, and we don't start out with a clean slate in our subconscious to go along with our new nature. There's some reprogramming that must take place. The load of guilt that comes with carrying the struggle that we had against sin and bearing our sin and shame, it is lifted from us. And we feel that, we experience that. We no longer face the certain judgment when this life is over. And we know that we were headed towards that certain judgment. And we recognize that we are no longer under condemnation in the face of God, or in the face of ourselves, or in the face of others. This is the truth, is it not? And we certainly greatly rejoice in that. And we are so thankful for it, because how could we go on without that? But then we begin undergoing a process of renewing our minds. And we renew our minds through the washing of the water of the Word. First, the conscious mind. We have to be consciously aware of God's Word first. And then the subconscious mind also. And also through many of the same ways that we learned bad behavior before, now we learn good behavior. We learn good behavior. We learn to form good habits, to replace the bad habits that have been coming ingrained in us. In other words, we continue to learn things both consciously and subconsciously by example as Christians, just as we did before we got saved, right? We could be in a negative environment and be programmed by that before we were saved. You can be in a positive environment after you're saved and be programmed by that. And our character and who we are, it's formed and shaped, and it comes more and more in view by the trials and the situations that we face along the way. And the besetting sin, many times, that it's things that we battle with that were actually programmed into our subconscious earlier in life, willfully or not. And we will battle with those things, not wanting those things to be carried with us any longer, until a reprogramming takes place, which gives us victory over those things. Now put your halo down for a moment. You did not get totally reprogrammed when you were born again from above. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting sick and tired of being sick and tired and calling a showdown and taking that thing and laying it on the altar before God, being honest with God, be honest with yourself. Ask God to kill that thing, to slay that thing so it no longer has an effect on you and your life. Sometimes it's through the reading of the Word that revelation strikes and we begin to confess what the Word says, or we begin to we're inspired that there's another way, or we learn that there's something that needs to be changed and we cry out and ask God to change us. Sometimes it's by the hearing of the Word that our subconscious is renewed. Sometimes it's recognizing that we need to forgive. Something is in us that needs to be changed, and unless or until we forgive, it'll just lay right there. And then when we do forgive, it actually frees us from something that has been programmed in our subconscious mind. And throughout this whole process of growing in Christ Jesus, our true character and our new nature begins to come into view, and it begins to be what we see and what others see in us. Old things are passed away, as Paul said, and all things become new. But they must, Paul said, by the renewing of your mind. Renewing, that's a process. Renewing. Now, don't mistake this as just mind over matter, because that's not what we're intending for you to get out of this. We know that you can't change deep down inside who and what you are just by making up your mind that you want to be a different person. How could you do that? How could a, you know, let's imagine for a moment that a giraffe could think. Well, if a giraffe could think and a giraffe decided, you know, I don't want to be a giraffe anymore, I want to be a gorilla. Well, you can think that all you want, but you're still a giraffe. Your thinking is not going to change who and what you are in and of itself. So if that were the case, if all it took was for us to change our mind about what we were or are on the inside, why would we need a Savior? Why would we need to be born again of His Spirit? The changes that we're talking about that are going to take place in our conscious and subconscious thinking, it's a work of the Spirit by the Word. It is the Word that is the searcher and the divider of the thoughts and in the intents of the heart. But we have to surrender to the Spirit, and we have to allow God to work on us from the inside out. And it's His work. He's the one that does the work. He's the one that identifies. He's the one that goes in as the great physician. He's the one that goes in and says, now this needs to be removed and that needs to be removed to make room for this and to make room for that. He's the one that reprograms our minds. But we have to be willing to be reprogrammed. We have to be willing to face the things that are many times unpleasant to face, and then allow God to deal with them in our lives. So it's not an easy process. It's not a painless process. But it's a process whereby we recognize that we are being changed from glory to glory, and that we are better off because of what we're going through. And there's a there's a desire that's down in the heart of every born-again son or daughter of God. They want to be changed. They don't want to be what they used to be. Paul said it this way, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from myself, basically, right? But then he gives thanks to Jesus Christ for the work that he's done and the work that he's doing and the work that he started, he's going to finish. So we have to allow that word to cut. We have to allow that word to go in and identify things that need to be removed. And then the word will actually bring healing as well, if we will allow the healing to take place. And we have to surrender to the will of God, which is the word of God, and allow it to mold us and shape us into His image until that is what is reflected in us and through us. So the anointed word going forth, it can touch things and deal with things in our lives many times that we aren't even aware of, things that are buried down on the inside of us that we have no way of knowing. Is that right? And we've heard many times in the message when that gift was used in prayer lines to call out things from a person's past that they were not even aware of, things that were still having an effect on them to this day, but they didn't know what the source of it was. For instance, you were chased by a dog when you were little. It scared the daylights out of you. And that's where that fear is coming from, that is that you are now affected by today in other circumstances that have nothing to do with the dog. Isn't that something? Something can be lodged in you, and that it's irrational to the conscious mind. It's irrational that fear of that certain thing can affect you in other areas of your life. But it's nevertheless a fact. We know that Brother Branham was affected by the things that he experienced as a child, and thankfully, you know, just as you and I are, and thankfully he told us about it. You know, he didn't play the part that, well, bless God, you know, I'm justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, I've arrived. You know, God's not doing anything else on me. I've been perfected, and I'm living sinless perfection. No, he went through things that were based on experiences that he'd had earlier in his life, and those things had to be overcome, just like they do for you and I. So as a result of certain things that he faced as a child, for instance, he battled with feelings of rejection by other people, a feeling that he wasn't loved or accepted by others, because that's what he went through as a child. And so later on, bringing forth the word, people were rejecting the word, it was hard for him to not take that personally, because that was something that he'd experienced earlier in life, and it wasn't him that was being rejected, it was the word that was being rejected. Even to the place where later in life, he, for a short period of time, he lost his feeling for the people, because he felt the people had lost their feeling for him. And that was based on the rejection that he'd faced in his childhood, and then again later on faced as an adult. And we find that he did get the victory over that. Though those memories and those feelings from the past, they'll always be there. They won't go away, but the impact that they have on you will be different. So there are some people that are raised in a certain way that they never experience much rejection at all. And maybe they also might have a certain temperament that they can't empathize even with somebody that has experienced rejection. You know, they've never experienced it, and they have a temperament where they struggle to empathize with others. And a person like that, if you confide your experiences and struggles based on those experiences with them, they will later sometimes throw that back in your face and use that against you. And so we want to have wisdom in what we share with other people. But on the other hand, we don't want to shut the door to listening to what other people point out and what other people can see if it's, you know, brought with the right spirit. We want to be, sometimes even if it isn't brought with the right spirit, we want to be ready to receive it, because just because that person is wrong in their attitude or their behavior doesn't mean it isn't something that needs to be brought to our attention. Are you with me? So there's a balance there that we have to find. Somebody, like I said, somebody then bringing it up all the time, that's just the devil using that thing that he programmed into you to begin with, using it as a club or a bludgeon to keep hitting you over the head with it, and then it becomes something else that you have to overcome. So what you're going to have to do is overcome what made you that way to begin with, and overcome then what others try to say about you or define who you really are, because that's not who you really are. You also need to realize that no matter what, everybody else has things that they are overcoming or are needing to overcome as well. Some of us are more open. Some of us are more vocal. Some of us are more humble than others. And we'll express those things. Others are more private, maybe. It has nothing to do with humility, but or maybe they're even they've locked some things away, and it's things that they don't even want to think about, so they don't bring it out. But trust me, every one of us is battling with things that have been programmed into us. Many of the things that we battle with today are the very things that we battle with since we were little children. If you weren't loved right, or if you faced a lot of rejection in your childhood, you might grow up treating others in the very same way because you don't know any different. And then you might start out as a Christian relating to God in the same way that you relate to others. I can personally testify to that in my own life. I had feelings like myself that I was unloved. And so it was hard for me to treat God differently than other people. It was hard for me to not think that God was mad at me, or God didn't love me, or God had a cooling off period, you know, because I grew up with somebody that had a cooling off period, right? So those things mold us and shape us, but as Christians, we need to overcome those things, and we can only overcome those things by the Word and by His Spirit, because those things can be buried in the subconscious and we could not even be aware that they are there and need to be addressed. So you might have had a parent that you could never please, that no matter what, they're always doing an inspection on whatever it was that you did. Oh, you missed this or you missed that. And, you know, maybe they never say you did this well or you did that well, but they say you messed this up or you messed that up, right? And that impression will stay with you as an adult. And you might initially serve God with the same kind of a feeling about his view of you as this other person had a view of you. Maybe you're raised under an authority figure that you became distrustful of for one reason or another. And if you aren't careful, you will distrust every authority figure in your life in the very same way. Starting with your pastor or with the deacons or with your boss at work or with your husband if you're a woman. So when we become aware of these things, we need to realize that the devil is trying to take advantage of us by holding us hostage to those things. So much of that you had nothing to do with. So you were truly a victim of those things because we were all born in sin, right? But Satan wants to keep us victims, right? So as born again sons and daughters of God, we need to stop and we need to say, now just wait a minute. I'm a child of God. I am not going to let the devil use that against me. I am not going to allow that to define me any longer. I'm going to take what the Word says about me versus what I think I know about myself or what I've been told about myself. We need to surrender to the Spirit of God and we need to let Him go into our subconscious realm and set us free from that. But you have to be willing to open all the doors and the windows and leave no doors closed behind. And as we already said, that won't free you from the memory of that thing or the feeling necessarily that comes or that is triggered at certain times that's attached to that thing. But it frees you from that thing controlling you. And it frees you from being a prisoner to that lie that was told about you that was then programmed in you. Are you with me? You see, the truth of the matter is, you can please this Father. I don't care who you are. You can please Him. Because He's made a way for you to please Him. He's made a way so that you can please Him. Starting with a new birth. He's made a way that you can be accepted in the Beloved. He's made a way that you can be dressed in raiment that's pure and white. He's made a way that you can be righteous in His righteousness. But you have to believe that over what you might have been programmed with to believe from the beginning. This is from a medical journal once again, just showing how even science is looking into some of these things and recognizing the effects that the subconscious has on your life. We have the ability to empty the mind of all unwanted subconscious impressions and tendencies. It is possible to change the contents of the mind, just as it is possible to sow good seed to replace weeds in our life. The conscious experience gets stored up as a subconscious impression. We have to control both conscious and subconscious such that the subconscious is cleansed of its dirty contents. Now this is medical science talking, right? Suppose you have a bottle that is contaminated with ink and dirt and you can't pick up the bottle to pour it out because it's attached to a table, as an example. What do? You pour clean water in the bottle until all the dirt and the ink is washed out of the bottle until nothing is left but clean water. Goes on to say, excuse me, we can never be effective in our life if we keep thinking day in and day out, I'll never succeed. I'm no good. I'm a failure. How many knows that's true? From the Message Law, Brother Bram says, now it's a strange thing that this is so much thought of people. They say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. Well, that's just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language right then. Now, you never said a cuss word, but you're talking his language when you say that. You mustn't never say that. So how often is it okay to say that? Somebody say never.
Never.
You must never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. I am saved. I have God in my heart. Now, he's telling you what to say. Here's what you should do. Instead of saying, I'm not a very good Christian, I don't have much faith, instead of saying those things, you should say, I am saved. Why don't we say that this morning? Yeah, right? We should be able to confidently, not with a little bit of, oh, there's a little bit of question mark there. No, I'm saved. I'm confident of that this morning. He saved me. I didn't do it. He saved me. And it was his grace. So I want to boldly say that. I'm saved. Well, are you going to get overconfident? How can I get overconfident? If anything, I need to be overconfident. I need to believe that I am saved. So if I have to say it until I believe it, let me say it. I am saved. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I am saved. I have God in my heart. I have God in my heart. I believe Him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing? With all of my heart. Let your testimony always and your thoughts, everything, never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. Amen. When it starts that, now that's not you bringing it up necessarily, but there's a thought that's brought to your mind. When it starts that, don't entertain it. Amen. Well, you say, I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, that would be like the farmer that said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but he sure could stop them from roosting. You don't have to allow that thought to build a nest. You don't have to allow that thought to reproduce, lay eggs in your head, right? And bring forth more and more evil thoughts. He says, so that's a good thing, you see. You can't help the thoughts when they come, but don't entertain them. Just pass it on. No, sir, Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God. Now, how is it that I'm able to say that? Because the Word says it. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify to them. And God can only bless you as you confess that He's done it for you. Let me say that again. God can only bless. How many want to be blessed by God? God can only bless you. Somebody say only. God can only bless you as you confess that He's done it for you. See, He's the high priest of our confession. Is that right? You know, when we first hear these things, or when we're first learning scriptures from the Bible, we hear these things and we think, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Why do I have to say it? If it's true, He's already said it. Why do I have to say it? You have to say it because there's a method that you are programmed by. There's a way that your subconscious is programmed. And you have to have a part now in programming your subconscious. Your subconscious was once programmed by other people. Now it's time for you to take the Word and let it program you by speaking it out of your own lips. God can only bless you as you confess that He's done it for you. He's the high priest of our confession. Is that right? Hebrews 3, He said that He is the high priest of our confession. He can only do for us as we accept it. So it falls in, we believe it in our heart, we accept it in our mind. He says, accept it, believe it, and confess it. So now it has to be in that subconscious as well. All three parts, our soul, our subconscious, and our conscience, has to be in harmony. They have to be saying the same thing. Now, I've heard preachers talk this way before and call it humility. You know, we're just low down sinners. We're just, you know, little paramecians. We're just little, you know, tadpoles and God's eyes and we'll never amount to anything. That's a lie from the devil. I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. Let me ask you this morning, what's a good Christian? What's a bad Christian? That's like saying, I'm not a very good lamb. Well, are you a lamb or aren't you? If you're a lamb, you're a lamb. You're not a good lamb or a bad lamb, you're a lamb. Now, if you're a wolf trying to be a lamb, I get it why you're not a very good lamb. If you're a sinner trying to be a Christian, I get it why you're not a very good Christian. Because you're not a Christian at all if you're a sinner. I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. Well, I'm just being honest. I'm just being humble. I'm humbling myself in the sight of the Lord. No, you're speaking the devil's language. You're lining your confession up with the enemy. And you will never live higher than your confession. That is just what the devil is saying about you. And you're agreeing with him. And as long as that is your confession, friends, you're never going to live higher than your confession. Maybe you heard when you were a child that you were no good. And now that same thought is still with you as a Christian. So instead of you're not a good child, it's the same thought, but now it's you're not a good Christian. It's the same thing that's down in the subconscious, but now it's got a new target. It's the same subconscious impression about you that you've had since you were a child. Well, Brother Doug, there is none that are good. Jesus said so himself. Don't call anyone good. There's none good but God. After the flesh, that is true. But don't let the devil misplace that scripture concerning you, because that's a misplacement. That's a misapplication of the Word of God. Jesus said this concerning the flesh. When he was called good master, he said, don't call anyone good. There's none good but God. After the flesh. But do you mean to tell me this morning, friends, that he was saying, even me, the Son of God, I'm no good? Do you believe he was saying that? You're quiet this morning. Of course he wasn't saying that. Was he saying, there's no good thing in me? Of course not. He was the very thoughts of God that became the Word of God that then became flesh. So if you allow the devil to misapply that scripture to you, you will then need another Savior, because that one's no good. No, somebody told you that you were no good as a child. And that impression has been imprinted on your subconscious, and it still defines you today as a Christian. But there's a cure. Aren't you glad? You hear positive preaching, and as a Christian, your soul believes it. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, there's no doubt in the soul. Your soul's no longer battling against those things. But the subconscious, friends, the subconscious can repulse that positive preaching instead of accepting it based on a complex that you might have or based on an experience or certain feelings. There's something that's programmed in the subconscious that's saying something different about you than your conscience and the Word. Your soul can be in complete agreement with the Word. And if you're born again of the Spirit of God, it is in agreement. Your mind can say, yeah, I know that's the truth. But in the subconscious, there could be a wait a minute. Hold on. Something in you is believing something else. He says, you must never say that. Never say what? Who's paying attention this morning? You must never say that. Now, so much of the time we want to point to what other people are saying. No, you You must never say that. That what? Anything that's negative? You must never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I am saved. I have God in my heart. I believe Him with all my heart. Why do I need to say that? Because you're programming your subconscious. You're bringing harmony into your being. You're getting everything lined up with the channel of God's Word so that it can flow through you and bring your body into subjection to what you're confessing. Something in you is believing something else, and that has to be changed. Every little bit of tugging little doubt, that shows you that there's something down there that needs, it can be so convincing to us. Well, I know that's never going to happen for me. But nevertheless, that has to be dealt with. It has to be changed. Well, Brother Doug, how? By telling yourself the truth. And by you hearing yourself tell yourself that. Until it becomes what is imprinted in your subconscious. Anybody seeing a pattern? Well, how can that work, Brother Doug? The same way it did when you were told that you were no good. How did that work? You heard it, believed it, maybe you even said it yourself. But it got imprinted into your mind. Now, instead of somebody else telling you something, you tell yourself. Here's what God's Word says concerning me. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'm rapture bound. I'm heaven bound. I can no more die than God can die. I came from Him. I'm going back to Him. My spirit is bearing witness with His spirit that I'm His child. That's you saying it. We've turned church so much of the time into a spectator sport, if you will. And it's because of all the things in America in particular that are spectator type of events. Oh, did you see this? Did you hear that? Did you see this? And we carry that on into church if we're not careful. And if we're not careful, we'll look to hire the most dynamic people, the people that will dazzle, the people that will, say things to move us this way or that, because we're looking for somebody else to do something for us. When it's you that's going to do much of the application. You're the one that's going to do the homework. Yeah, the thought's introduced to you, but you got to make it your thought. You got to make it a part of your life. You got to tell yourself the truth by you hearing yourself, telling yourself the truth until it becomes what's imprinted on the inside. So the difference now is that you are saying to yourself what the Word says versus what somebody else said that wasn't even true. But you believed it. Well, Brother Doug, I don't believe that that could work for me. Well, that's strange. Because the reason that you believe that it can't work for you, is because that worked on you before through somebody else's lips. Somebody told you that. You accepted that it wouldn't work. Because you're a dummy, you'll never amount to anything, or you're a failure. You accepted that. Well, now accept something else. From glory to glory, He's changing me. Changing me, changing me. His brightness and image to perfect in me the love of God shown to the world. So, confession, friends, the whole purpose of confession is not to convince God. It's not to convince others. It's to convince you. It's you believing on the inside what God has already said about you. It's you coming in agreement with that. Now, if a person claims to be a Christian and they're not truly born again by faith through grace, And then that person tries to say what the word says about a born-again believer. Well, the soul is still going to say something that's different. Because in the soul, before you're born again of the Spirit, you're not a believer. You're a doubter. The word is not saying these things about an unconverted soul. And that's why, friends, there are so many intellectual Christians that try to convince themselves and others that they are who the Word says that they are. And when they fail at that, well, then they want to bring everybody else down to that level and say, well, the rest of you are lying. I'm just being honest with myself. No, you're just not born again. If you aren't born again, you can never be what the Word says about you. Because the Word isn't saying that about you. It's saying that about born-again believers. So their lives will never line up with their confession. Because if it was just a matter of us reading a book and positive confession, well, why do we need Calvary? Why do we need a new birth? So the confession must be based upon the Word, and it must come from a believing soul. Because no matter who you are, you can never make yourself a believer in the soul, no matter how hard you try. So again, the soul, the subconscious, and the conscience, they all need to be saying the same thing for it to become a reality. There has to be harmony with the soul and the mind of Christ. In the mind for Christ to then act upon our confession of His Word. He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. We have to confess it. This is so simple. And yet, it's made so complicated. Again, He says, your inner conscience speaks louder than your mouth does. I never heard my inner conscience speaking. Have you heard my inner conscience speaking? Your inner conscience speaks louder than your mouth does. It's your subconscious on the inside, what you really think, that's what the Holy Spirit catches and reveals. If you think in your subconscious, I'm no good, well, guess what? You're no good. From the medical journal, goes on to say, a lot of people are living their lives, oh, this is powerful. A lot of people are living their lives rerunning from old tapes. Things that were said to them as a child or things that happened to them involving parents, friends, teachers, these are held in your subconscious mind and continue to attract similar circumstances in your life. So in other words, we can carry the things that are programmed in us throughout our lives, fears, phobias, worries, complexes, so on and so forth, feelings of rejection, feelings of being unloved, feelings of being misunderstood. And it's a permanent impression on your subconscious that you relive over and over and over. And you're convinced that's who you are. Well, I can't get along with this person, and I can't get along with that person, and I can't get along. That's because something is programmed in you to not get along with people in general. Or how about this? Why do these things always seem to follow me wherever I go? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? It's because it's programmed in you. And wherever you go, that's where it is. Well, if I just change churches, then that'll change. No, it's going with you. You can't leave it behind at the church. As we said before, you can go up to the highest mountains on earth and get away from every human being, and guess what? You'll still have those things. Why can't I have friends like that other person over there? I don't know. Why can't you? You believe that you can't. As long as you believe that, it's going to be true. Well, I'll never get over this habit. I'll never get over this addiction. You believe that, it'll be true. How many can say this morning, you don't need to raise your hand, but it's a good question to ask yourself. How many can look back and say, you know what? I can't believe all that God has taken out of my life. I never thought I'd be where I'm at today. If you'd have asked me years back if I would have got over this or that, some of the things that have been overcome in my life, I didn't even think about. And yet I can see that God has changed it. Of course you believe that. You couldn't go on if you didn't. Well, Brother Doug, there's no unity in the church. Why would somebody say that? It's because they believe that they can't ever have unity with others. And guess what? If you believe that, you won't have unity. And so for you, it will be true. But not the rest of the church. Well, the church doesn't do enough for me. Guess what? Maybe so. But it's you that's carrying around an expectation wherever you go, and it will be true wherever you're at. No one will ever do enough for you. What is it, friends? These things aren't being pointed out to make you uncomfortable. It's something that's programmed down on the inside of you that needs to be reprogrammed so that it matches what the Word says. And I don't know any other way to do it. If we don't hear it, how's it going to be dealt with? We've had that thrown in our face over the years so many times. Why do you keep bringing this up or that up? Well, I guess, obviously, it must have something to do with your life because it's bothering you. Because nobody else is asking me that. If you get over something, let me pick something ridiculous. If you're addicted to Pez candy, that's probably a safe thing, right? Anybody know what that is? It's these little candy things that come in this tube and it's spring-loaded and you pull back the head and a little piece of candy comes out. If you're addicted to that and you get delivered of it and you hear somebody say, you know, really God doesn't want you to be addicted to Pez candy, is that going to bother you? No, actually it's going to have the opposite effect. Because you're going to say, wow, praise the Lord. God delivered me of that. You're not taking it personal. Because it isn't personal any longer. It has nothing to do with your person. It might have had something to do with the old guy, but that's not who you are. So when people do things like that, they're just telling on themselves. They're saying, I don't want to get beyond this, so don't bring it up anymore. Or they're in denial. Which is even worse. I don't have this problem, but it bothers me when you say it. Just listen to yourself for a moment. It bothers you when I say it, but you don't have that problem. Well, how could that be? Somebody's lying to themselves. Somebody's subconscious and conscious are not in agreement. Something is programmed down on the inside of us that needs to be reprogrammed. Until it matches what the Word says. And friends, this is true for everybody, from the pastor to the back door. All of us. Our minds need to be renewed. And what part do you and I have to play as born-again sons and daughters of God? What's our part in this? Our part is to constantly, especially in the beginning, to run our thoughts and run our words through the filter of God's Word. Run everything, every thought. Make sure that you know where you can trace that to. If it isn't in the Word, you realize, wow, there's something that needs to be reprogrammed. That's the low-hanging fruit, friends. We all start out that way. We think that, you know, everybody goes to heaven. And then you read in the book, not everybody goes to heaven. Those that confess Jesus Christ as their Savior, they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, will be saved. Period. So once you run across that, you realize, wow, there's something that needs to be reprogrammed in me. Right? You wouldn't know that if you don't run these things through the filter of God's Word. And when our thoughts and words don't match what the Word says, well, we need to confess instead what the Word says until our soul and our subconscious and our conscience are all saying the same thing. No matter how we feel, no matter what we think, it's based on God's Word. But as long as we are saying something that's different, we will never see what that Word says about us manifested in our lives. Friends, I've seen this over and over and over throughout the years, and we've become our own worst enemies. I've seen people think, I'm just more humble than you, Brother Doug, because I just admit that I'm just no good, and I'm just a worm, and I'm just a this, and I'm just a that. No, you're lying to yourself. You've accepted that, and I've accepted what the Word says. Oh, well, that's a proud thing for you to say. It would be proud if I was the one that said it. It isn't proud because He's the one that said it, right? And He's the one that's making me that way on the inside. And now the rest of me has to come in alignment. The rest of me is never going to amount to anything, but we need to get it out of the way. Well, I'll probably miss the rapture, Brother Doug. Huh. Yep, you most certainly will miss the rapture if that remains your confession. If we're struggling with believing certain things that the Word says about us, well, then we must first face the facts that we aren't yet believing it from every part of our being. If we aren't born again, we need to have faith in God and die out to ourselves. We need to ask God to birth us by His Spirit and change the nature of that soul so that we are believers. If we are born again, which I trust we are this morning, well, then we need to learn to trust God completely. We need to learn to accept what His Word declares about us over what we think about ourselves or what we feel or what somebody else says. We need to be yoked together with Him. He said, take my yoke upon you. We need to learn of Him so that we'll find peace for our soul. So we're not up and down and up and down and up and down. We're yoked with Him. We need to take what He says about us over what we think about ourselves or what other people think or say. And we need to let our confession be according to His Word. How many knows that's true? And if we aren't laying in His Word every day, if we aren't hearing the thoughts from His Word daily that He thinks concerning ourselves, well, guess what? You will certainly hear other thoughts during the day. You will certainly be impressed by other experiences of your daily life. And those things will continue to program the subconscious and direct your life. So it's a matter of what's programming us. We need to consciously take what we think, take what we say, and run it through the filter of the Word. And see if it passes through the filter. I'm no good. Okay, chapter, verse. Can somebody give me a chapter, verse? Anybody? Where it says, I'm no good? You won't find it in God's Word. Now, if you're talking about the old man, sure. If you're talking about the flesh, sure. But if you're talking about those that are born from above, if we aren't laying in His Word, if we aren't hearing His thoughts daily concerning us, we're going to hear other thoughts. And we will be impressed by them. So we need to consciously, especially in the beginning of our walk, because you don't even know what you're disbelieving. You have no idea. You're not trying to disbelieve. You're not trying to doubt. But you've been programmed. You've got certain things laying in you that need to be reprogrammed. So we need to consciously take what we think, what we say, what other people say, take it through the filter of the Word. And as we grow and as we mature, we will unconsciously just do the things of God. We need to have zeal and humility to repent daily, knowing that every day we're going to make mistakes.
And to be changed by that anointed word that we hear as it comes forth. We need to come to church with the expectation that, you know what? I'm gonna be changed a little bit more when I come to church today. I'm gonna be more like him when I leave than I came. Not I'm gonna get whipped or raked over the coals. No, I'm gonna be changed. These things are not there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. It's not condemning. You were under condemnation. It's to take that from you. It's to take things from you that are covering who you really are, that are influencing what you do. It's to get those things out of the way so that the Word of God can live through you and show through you who you truly are. From glory unto glory. Let's stand. From glory to glory, he's changing me, yes, he's changing me, yes, he's changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me. It's the love of God shown to the world. For he's changing, yes, he's changing me. From earthly things to the heavenly, his likeness and image to perfect in me. It's the love of God shown to the world. And again, from glory
to glory, he's changing me.
Yes, he's changing me. Yes, he's changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me. It's the love of God shown to the world. For he's changing, yes, he's changing me. From earthly things to the heavenly. His likeness and image to perfect in me. It's the love of God shown to the world. And again, from glory to glory, he's changing me. He's changing me. He's changing me. I'm not what I used to be. To perfect it. It's the love of God shown to the world. For he's changing, yes, he's changing me. From earthly things to the heavenly. His likeness and image to perfect it. It's the love of God shown to one more time. From glory to glory. How many believes that this morning? Amen. He's changing me. His likeness and image to perfect me. It's the love of God shown to the world. Oh, he's changing. Yes, he's changing me. From earthly things to the heavenly. His likeness and hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. It's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. It's the life behind the name that makes me humble. It's God who devised the plan that in all things as a man he would live so he could give. That's the life behind the... There's a life there. There's a life behind the name. And it makes the demons tremble. There's a life behind the name. That makes the proud heart humble. It was God who devised the plan. That in all things as a man. He would live so he could give. What's the life behind the name? It's the life behind the name. Amen. It's the life behind the name that makes the proud heart humble. It's God.